Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
May 29, 1956, my dad, the night before reading his Bible, circled something in his Bible, looked at my mom with this strange look, and went to the flight path the next morning. I had to make a decision at 400 miles an hour to either eject and to save his life because his plane was heading towards Monterey Bay, or to take it in. The problem was, it was Memorial Day. And so the onlookers saw him dart the plane into the ocean, and recently I got his last words on Earth. This is November, Papa, 88, taking it in.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, APU partners with the city of Azusa here in Southern California through a variety of programs like Azusa Reads, which enlists APU students to teach local children how to read, and also the Neighborhood Wellness Center, which provides nursing students the opportunity to offer health promotion and disease prevention services to the public. If you'd like to learn more about APU and the outstanding programs that they offer to students and the community, go to homeward.com and you'll find the APU icon there, or go to apu.edu to learn more about it. Dr. Jim Burns, a proud alumni of Azusa Pacific University. And here on the campus of APU today, we are joined in studio by Ed Tandy McGlasson, pastor at the Vineyard Church in Anaheim and the author of the book, The Difference a Father Makes. We're going to talk about now the influence and impact of the intentional dad.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and very excited today to have Ed McGlasson with us. We're talking about the influence and the impact of the intentional dad. Ed is a former NFL lineman who currently pastors a great church in Anaheim, California called the Stadium Vineyard. He's a sought-off conference speaker and author of many great books, and Roger's going to tell you about some of those great books. He's been married to his wife, Jill, for nearly 30 years. They make their home in Orange, California. They have five children. One of the most dynamic people I know, and I was thinking just recently that we were in a couples group for 7 years. There were seven women and seven men, obviously, and all of them had dad issues. And today we're going to talk about some of those dad issues. Ed, welcome to the program. I'm so excited you're here.
Hey, great to be here, Jim.
I almost didn't get us started because we just kept talking about life and you know people we have in common, but it's so good to be with you. You've got some dog tags around your neck.
Yeah, I do. My dad's dog tags.
Tell us about that. Why are you wearing those?
Well, these are, you know, for Navy jet pilots. You know, they take these off before they fly because they remove sharp objects, you know, in case you have a sudden stop. And on May 29th, 1956, my dad, the night before reading his Bible, circled something in his Bible, looked at my mom with this strange look, and went to the flight path the next morning. And had to make a decision at 400 miles an hour to either eject and to save his life because his plane was heading towards Monterey Bay, or to take it in. The problem was, it was Memorial Day. And so the onlookers saw him dart the plane into the ocean, and recently I got his last words on Earth. This is November, Papa, 88, taking it in.
I have chills. Actually, he was one dad. You had another dad.
I had a stepfather. My mother then returned back to her home in Annapolis, met Dan McGlasson. My dad was Ed Tandy, met Dan McGlasson, who was getting ready to go to sub school. And submariners are a little different than flyboys. And he had an interesting passage with his father at 13. His father discovered that he was afraid of water. Took him to a bayou, grabbed him out of his pickup truck, threw him off a 40-foot bridge into a river, and said, sink or swim, die or try. It's up to you if you make it, boy. And I remember when my stepfather told me that, this had this strange look in his eye. And is it any wonder that he spent his life as a submariner to answer back that question to that first audience that matters for all of us, our fathers? Dad, I'm not afraid of the water. Look at me. I'm a submarine commander.
Wow. You know, Ed, I was speaking at a Promise Keepers event a number of years ago in Atlanta, and I gave an illustration that had just taken place. Ted Turner, you know, everybody knows him as CNN and, you know, right. Turner Network, et cetera, had just received the Businessman of the Year. And it was with Forbes magazine, and there was a big banquet in his honor, and they had a bust of his face. And he came up to a standing ovation, and then he took the bust, he raised it toward heaven, and he said, "Dad, are you now proud of me, finally?"
Yeah.
And he set it down, and he gave a speech. They really didn't talk much about that, but even this man, even in death, he still was thinking about a dad who quite possibly didn't bless him.
Right. He lived with that wound. I had read something else that he said that his dad told him that he would always be a bum. Hmm. He would never make any money. Is it any wonder that he is one of the most notorious human beings on the face of the earth, right, who never got the blessing and love that every young person needs in their, yeah, life?
Well, you know, that's where I wanted to go with it. Because sometimes people who do not get the blessing actually compensate for it, and they, you know, they go on and, you know, make a lot of money, or they do certain things. But still, there's a hole in their heart, I'm convinced, if they didn't get this blessing. And yet, many of the people who are listening to us today, if you said, "Did you receive a blessing from your dad?" they wouldn't be able to say yes. Like I said, seven couples. I was really the only one who, my dad was a recovering alcoholic, but my dad did bless me, and even at the end of his life, just recently he passed away, and, you know, he said wonderful things, and he expressed his love and whatnot. But I didn't grow up with that, with necessarily, you know, this kind of relationship that you talk about. If somebody hasn't received a blessing from their dad, maybe their dad's even passed on, or their dad is just not the one who's going to do it. Now they're trying to bless their own children. What kind of advice do you give them?
Well, here's the truth. It's impossible for a guy to give away something he's never received.
Yeah.
You know, we learned that way. But Jesus made a promise that in this new book I'm working on now, he said, "I won't leave you as orphans." In other words, every person he saw in the crowd that day had been orphaned from the love of his father. And the great news in Christ is that no matter how good or bad your dad is, if you'll meet his father, the blessing that Jesus lived his life from, yeah, can be in you.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how you start your story. If you're a single mom right now and you're struggling and you lost your voice again because you're screaming at your 12 and 13-year-old kids all day long saying, "Will my kids ever be anything?" The great news of the gospel is that Jesus really came to be the father to the fatherless.
Yeah. And really, that happened to you. You have said in some of your writings that you really wouldn't have ever been able to understand the depth of the Heavenly Father's love without kind of the blessing, or the blessing without the understanding of the Heavenly Father's love. So you became a Christian and really then understood what it meant to have a Heavenly Father.
Well, actually, I becoming a Christian introduced me to Jesus.
Yeah.
But the first person of the Trinity, I had no clue, right, about him, because my stepdad was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And so everything was about naming yourself by what you do. And so I learned to name myself. And so the name I got because of my athletic ability and my appetite was pro football player. And I remember a moment with my son Edward when he was just 11 years old, wasn't obeying me. And I do what so many dads do. I just dominate him with my power and my voice, said things to him I wish I could have taken back. He was in his room crying and devastated, and went into my study. Here I am, a pastor of a church. I'm married. I got a couple kids. And I just failed again as a dad. And I just went to the Lord and said, "God, why did I do that?" And just right in that moment, Jim, the voice of the Lord just came up inside of me and said, "Well, that's the way you talk to yourself, Ed." Mm-hmm. You've learned how to hear my voice through the broken filter of your stepfather when he was angry. But that's not who I am. And if you will learn how to hear my voice, I'll make you the kind of father that makes a difference. And in that moment in my life, I got the most amazing gift. I saw my marriage, it was all about me. My kids were all about me. All their achievements was all about me. And what I found in Scripture, and when there's an absence of a father's blessing, we are so destined to name ourselves, because the result of the fall of Adam and Eve was that their name would come from their performance. And it's no wonder that when Adam and Eve sinned, we ended up losing our heavenly address into the house of the Father and moved into the orphanage of the father of lies. and we get imprisoned trying to get our identity from our stuff, our things, our job, our friends, our achievements. But what happens if we lose our friends? We lose our jobs. We lose that identity. I mean, there's a reason in the National Football League, when the camera is on the player on the sideline, that he says, "Hello, Mom."
Exactly.
I cannot tell you how many guys I've met who have a story of no father. They're an overachieving son on a football field for the fans in that moment. The Super Bowl, the cheers of the Super Bowl to many of those players are going to be the only praise they ever hear in their life. And it's from the 100,000 people that are going to be watching that event locally without ever getting what we want. And that is a dad who believes in us or answers that question that John Eldridge says, "What does a boy want? Daddy, do I have what it takes?"
You know, when we come back, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, you know, it's what I want as a dad to my daughters. It's what I think so many dads want. Moms want it for their husbands if they're married. And yet we don't have it. We need to hear from you. What can we do practically to give our kids that blessing where they feel the security, and at the same time, then they also understand the unconditional, everlasting love of our Heavenly Father in Jesus.
Amen.
We'll be right back. More to come in just a moment. Ed McGlasson with us. Incredible conversation. I have chills all of that conversation, the influence, the impact of the intentional dad. Ed McGlasson, former NFL lineman, as we talked about football a little bit. He's also the pastor of one of the great churches in the community where I live in, the Stadium Vineyard in Anaheim, California. Actually, it's the town that I grew up in. Yay, Anaheim High School.
Yeah, Jim's a local guy. Anaheim High School, Azusa Pacific College, which it was when Jim and Kathy Burns were dating and going to school here, which is now Azusa Pacific University. And great to have Ed Tandy McGlasson joining us here on the program, here in the studios on the campus of Azusa Pacific. We're talking about the influence and impact of the intentional dad. Father's Day is coming up. This is a tough holiday for a lot of people because there are some father wounds that need to be healed. But today on the Homeward Broadcast, hopefully we're providing you with material that you can use to actually start healing some of those wounds. And even if your dad is no longer with us, these are things that you can kind of work through on your own. And we encourage you to go back and listen to this program again. We're streaming audio at homeward.com. Listen to it a couple of times and get as much out of it as you possibly can.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Yeah, I know it may look kind of strange, but it's what the kids are doing these days.
Well, Jim, you sound so nonchalant about all this. I mean, Jamie's a pretty responsible kid and all, but it really doesn't bother you that he dyed his hair blue?
Yeah, not really. It did take me a while to get used to seeing him with all the eyeliner and the rest of the garbage.
Well, you're a braver man than I am, my friend.
You know, it's really no big deal, Bill, because he still gets good grades, he's at church every Sunday, and I'm sure he'll outgrow it eventually. But for now, I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, you know what they say. Beauty isn't only skin deep. Seriously, you know, if my son dyed his hair blue and started wearing purple eyeliner to school, I'd want to know why. Kids love to try new things, and sometimes a bold new look might really be nothing more than a way to get a little attention. That's where some good old-fashioned compromise and negotiation is needed. And by the way, for a free copy of my tip sheet called How to Pick Your Battles Wisely with Your Teenager, go to homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Wow, what a great conversation. Ed McGlasson. We're talking about the influence and the impact of the intentional dad. And I for one, am very blessed. My dad died a year and a half ago or so. And at the end of his life, the amount of blessing I received from him, and I still to this day feel honored that my dad pulled it together. And, you know, there was years when he, as an alcoholic and never a bad guy, a functioning alcoholic, but didn't know how to do the intimate thing and know how to do the blessing thing. And then at the end of his life, he became a Christian. He did the best he could to bless his son. And I today am one of those people who craved it. You know, I turned 50 years old and my dad blessed me at 50 years old when I hadn't received it when I was probably 15, although he was a good guy. He'd play catch with me. He'd come to my games, things like that. I want to talk about this idea of blessing because it's really on all kinds of levels. There's a major spiritual level that I want you to talk about. There's also my dad blessed me because he played catch with me. You know,
right.
His presence was made different. Now, when you were 14 years old, you had an experience that you say kind of launched you into manhood. And I want you to tell us about that.
Yeah, my father was, stepfather was the commander of the Tranny Fish diesel submarine out of Key West, Florida. He was leaving for a 9-month tour in the Mediterranean Sea. And he was pulling out, and all the families go down. There's fanfare and a band and the smoke, and they're in their dress whites, and the sub is backing out of his berth. And he realizes that the keys to the car he drove were still in his pocket. First mistake. Second mistake is he drove the car that my mother refused to drive because she was a proper Southern woman. It had that third pedal. And a woman in a dress doesn't drive a clutch. And so he grabs the bullhorn from the conning tower and goes, Ed! He gets my attention. Today you are a man. Drive your mother home. And takes the keys and throws them. I jump up, and to this day, I can feel him hit my left hand.
Amazing.
The problem is I'd never driven before.
And you got a clutch.
And I had a clutch. And I looked at my mom, and I said, Mom, get in the car. I'm driving you home. And did not go well. Well, long story short, I turned it around, and it gave her whiplash for 3 miles.
Right.
But what my stepdad didn't know what he was doing was there something about the public affirmation and graduation of a boy and a girl into this rite of manhood that has almost completely disappeared in our culture today, because so many people are so focused on getting a name for themselves, their kids become invisible.
Yeah, isn't that something? Now, your dad, your stepdad, did that in some ways accidentally.
Completely accidentally.
But now we can be more proactive about it. And I remember my good friend, and I think he's your good friend too, Randy Phillips, who was the president of Promise Keepers, one time said to me, and I think he was quoting somebody else, but I'm now giving him the credit, a man is not a man until his father tells him he is.
That's right.
And so many people have never really had their dads do that. It's awkward. Dads will tell me. It's somewhat awkward.
Imagine the Super Bowl in 2 weeks with no goal line. No way to score.
Yeah.
How about a basketball? Kobe shooting up, there's no hoop.
Right.
Imagine a life that never feels the sense of graduation. But there's another part, Jim, that's kind of hidden in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Mm. I believe Paul was talking about his bar mitzvah. That moment when his father called him out at 13 years old and declared his love over his son. And with that public declaration came the backing of heaven. And that started to tweak me as I went through the Bible. Whatever the father said, or the son or the daughter, whether it was great or whether it was poor, Esau, you're going to live like an animal in the mountains. Well, he did. Jacob, wherever you go, you're going to be blessed in business. That happened in his life. The words of a dad carry a prophetic power in the life of sons and daughters.
I buy that. Specifically, you said something earlier, and maybe some of our listeners didn't catch it because they're just coming on to it, but you said you can't give something to your own children if you didn't receive it. And in some ways, that's scary because many people didn't receive it, but yet there is kind of a passage-type experience that you can offer your kids. And I want you to walk through, you know, some of the experiences that you've done. You know, we're here in the studios at Azusa Pacific, and you spoke it, as you were telling me earlier, that you spoke at Azusa Pacific, and you helped these students understand kind of this passage. You were at my church a couple of years ago at a passage type experience, and dads and sons, you know, walked and came forward, and they had this amazing experience. It's the beginning of something. It's not the end all.
Right.
But talk about that.
Well, for me, in my own story, remember I told you about my dad circling something in his Bible.
Right. Right.
Well, never knowing my natural father's voice, never seeing him, smelling him, being around him. You know, I had this encounter with my mom as I was growing up, and she told me that the last word that my dad circled in his Bible was the word come with a red pen in the story when Jesus was walking on the storm towards his disciples in the boat, and Peter wanted to walk out on the water, and Jesus said, Peter, come. Well, I had now had this experience with my son Edward I talked about. I had just had a really bad day being a dad. And I was asked to speak at a high school group a few weeks later, and I'm standing in front of this high school group, and I was kind of the last-minute speaker, so I'm writing my sermon in the car going, okay, water walking faith. I'm going to pull that out of Matthew, you know. Get out of the boat and be a Peter in your life, right? And so I'm thinking through this message. I stand up in front of these kids. I read the scripture, Jim, and when I come down to the word come in that story, the father that I always wanted showed up in that moment. The father I never knew in my dad was now present in Jesus' father. And he said these words to me. The last words your father heard before he died was the word come.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what I've called you to.
Yeah.
To call people to come to me. And then he said something to me that just floored my life. He said, from this day forward, Ed, your name is no longer football player. You are my beloved son in whom I love. And the sonship that Paul promised that we receive in Christ, the sonship that was modeled at the baptism. See, the baptism of Jesus is that central commissioning moment in Christ's life. But for us, you have the death of Christ into the water and the resurrection. We're born again in Christ. The Holy Spirit coming and empowering us with grace to live our life. But there's a third person there, the Father. It's the naming of the Father that changes our name from sin or brokenness or performance to a son. You are my beloved son. And when the Father spoke out of heaven, he could have said anything over his son that day. But he called him his beloved son. He didn't call him greatest preacher. He didn't call him evangelist. He didn't call him savior. He said, you are my beloved. And that word I have discovered, even in the rites of bar mitzvah in Jewish history, that was from the letters of the fathers, but at the destruction of the temple, was the last line of bar mitzvah is, you are my beloved son in whom I love. When a father hoists a son on his shoulders and carries him into manhood, or a daughter on her bat mitzvah day, he says over her in Hebrew, you are my beloved daughter. It's a name that has been destined for you and I. And here's something I just had the honor of speaking to Exodus International, their conference. They had 850 men and women who are desperately trying to escape the gay lifestyle, the brokenness of all that brings in their life.
And so many of them with dad issues. I mean.
And at the end, I said, how many of you have waited all your life for the love and blessing of a dad? And if you never got it, would you come? And 800 men and women ran forward. And I stood there on that stage and had that, you know how you have those moments of clarity as a minister that you'll never forget. I felt like this wave kind of rolled over me when I said to these men and women, no longer will your name be brokenness. No longer will your name be gay today. You are, from this moment, the beloved son and daughter of God. And these men and women were shattered and broken and weeping. And because they got a name change. See, if the enemy can name you broken, your whole identity is in recovery of that name. He came to give you a new name, Jim, beloved. And the secret of what's happened in my own story, I'm a miracle sitting here. For God to turn a self-focused professional football player, that was my identity, and then pastor into a loving father, I had to have a heart change. And the only way my heart could be changed is I needed a new name. I need to move from being Big Ed the football player or Big Ed the pastor or evangelist, the achiever, to Ed the beloved of the Lord.
Wow. Great conversation. We've got to have more. Can you come back so we can keep talking?
I'd love to.
Ed McGlasson, one-time NFL football player, but now beloved son of the Father. What a story.
Amen to that, and we hope that you have been blessed, that your heart has really been touched by what you've heard today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in his conversation with Ed Tandy McGlasson, talking about the influence and impact of the intentional dad. If you missed any part of this program, remember we're streaming audio at homeward.com. You can podcast with us through our online resource center as well. Go to homeward.com, hit the podcast button. It'll redirect you to our site on iTunes, and then that way you can start that subscription absolutely free. CDs are also available to the program. We'll be happy to burn you one. Drop us a line. Include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry, and we'll thank you for that tax-deductible donation by sending you a copy of the CD, and we appreciate a gift of as much as you possibly can afford to support this ministry. We are completely listener-supported. Write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Now for our engineer, Ben Camp, parenting and family expert, Dr. Jim Burns, and myself, Roger Marsh, thanks so much for listening to us here at Homeward. Join us again next time for another edition of the program. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.